Please be seated. When I arrived home one evening this past week, I noticed that there was a sheet of paper pinned to the fridge. On it were a pair of child's footprints in red paint, and drawn above them was a curved brown stem. Below were the words, "I love you to the core." And beneath that was my grandson's name and the date. Well, I'm sorry, I have to confess, I melted. I don't think I would be alone in that. And I was reminded yet again of how precious these moments are when we stop and celebrate the gifts of family, the gifts of those we love. And I was thought of the intense connections. It's almost as a friend of mine talked about, having a person literally wrapped around your heart and your liver and your kidneys. I thought that was an interesting illusion. They are very much wrapped into one's being. So in that moment, I felt blessed and grateful. In stark contrast, later on that evening, there was an unexpected phone call. Another name, another empty place at a friend's table, another unnecessary death. The friend, through tears, struggled to be matter of fact, but kept returning to the question, why? Why now? Why them? Why? So it was within that context that I had begun to think of the readings for today. And I was grateful that the lectionary had included Job. I realize in the past 3 weeks we've only dipped our toes into the book this time round. And if you recall, we've heard the beginning of Job's saga, read snippets of conversations around and with Job. Conversations, I note, which varied little in their monochrome hues of black and white. Many of them with his friends who came to offer comfort. These friends had easy answers. They offered what might be called conventional wisdom. Sin brings adversity, righteousness brings prosperity. I thought you knew that, that kind of attitude. They answered the why of his situation to their satisfaction, lingering only to see verification of their assessment. And we must take note of their perspective. We can't ignore that, because we encounter their descendants today. The same type of statements are still made and accepted in some versions of Christianity. The health and wealth gospel is dangerous. It is, at its worst, it imprisons children, enables the abuse of women, and supports the impoverishment of millions. It is a perspective which sees our environment, and for that matter, creation, as a means to economic wealth, irrespective of the impact. But let's get back to Job. Job's friends, his community, wonder what his hidden sins might be. Even his wife mocks him, saying, "Are you still maintaining integrity? Curse God and die." Things were very bleak indeed. So often, when something difficult happens, suffering, loss, or death, when why becomes a central question, the practice of blaming the sufferer is altogether too common, too familiar. However, in today's reading from Job, something different occurs. A divine whirlwind arises as Job stands defiantly before God to seek an audience to plead his case. God says, "So who is this that darkens counsel, who covers over sound instruction with empty words void of knowledge?" Job's wife, Job's community, his friends. But they are not the focus. Job himself is, and Job is warned, "Now prepare yourself and gather your courage like a warrior. Prepare yourself for the task at hand." This is a pivotal moment because Job, in this moment, has moved from the one who must have sinned to the one who is privileged to dialogue with God. He has endured God's absence, and God has endured Job's rantings, his anger, his challenges. And now, in this moment, all is put in such a different frame. Creation is revealed. The revelation of the universe in its complexity must have been amazingly overwhelming for Job. In this theophany, this divine encounter, Job not only hears God's voice, but catches a glimpse of the world's beginnings, sees the ongoing dance of the stars, and hears the joyful sounds of an evolving universe. The imagery sparks awe and connection. It is powerful, it is beautiful, orderly, unexpected, and beyond imagination and vocabulary. God challenges Job. "Were you there? Did you help lay the cornerstone? Did you see when the morning stars danced together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy?" I think I would be overwhelmed. The tapestry of creation's unfolding and God's vision is truly beyond human understanding. But let's be clear. This does not mean that the divine is ethically suspect or has a hidden will that includes our destruction as well as our salvation. Yet that creeps in. When a whirlwind of adversity strikes, how do we deal with it? For many of us, often the first response is, "Why? Why me?" Some Stoics may keep silent or feel guilty about questioning, but irrespective of that, most of us feel driven to discover an acceptable to us answer. The story of Job reveals that sometimes the why isn't given, and that an even better answer can be found. If we relinquish the why, how do we find the answer in the whirlwinds of illness, death, war, bankruptcy, or natural calamity? In a curious way, this question reminds me of the book A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L'Engle. I am not referring to the movie, just to be clear. And in the book, we find all the elements. A father inexplicably gone. The community, while present, is critical, wondering what the mother has done wrong, and inferring that she is either deceitful or delusional. The children are shadows of what they might be, what they might become. In the putting aside of the hurtful comments and the actions of those around them and discerning the good, that piece of the cosmos within themselves, all while experiencing an awareness and the immensity of creation, they begin to know the love of the Creator. And there is transformation, and there is healing. In the story, it is the children who first see and experience the music and the dance of the morning stars. And evil, Evil is shown as the mirage it truly becomes when no one believes in it. Both the story of Job and A Wrinkle in Time point to our limits, the limits of our experience, the limits of our place theologically. We must never forget that God's creativity also has a moral element to it. As a friend said, God parents forth a universe of order and beauty within which pain and suffering can occur. But creation is defined by divine wisdom and value and reflects God's aim at beauty and goodness, giving birth to all things. This revealed creator is more than Job or his friends could have imagined. The tapestry of God's vision is beyond our comprehension. And again, God is not ethically suspect, nor is there a hidden will that includes our destruction as well as our salvation. Questions arise when we see aspects of an evolving, imperfect, and finite universe, often of our own thinking and our own making. And it is an infinite universe in which unaware humans are at cross purposes. And this is never more visible than when we imagine ourselves to be masters of our own fate. Then it is so easy to slip into pride and self-sufficiency when adversity strikes. We defend ourselves, justify our actions, and point to past faithfulness. Sound familiar? Just might. And we demand an answer. Or, as we have heard, give out easy answers. With the splendor of creation spread before him, Job realized anew the power of God. But what he needed even more, and what we need as well, is to acknowledge and wait on the imminent one, our Creator God, who is with us. I know that being loved to the core by my red-footed grandson is but a tiny window into the divine whirlwind. I pray that my friend will open the firmly closed door of questions and pain and fall into the all-embracing, all-encompassing love of God. Our habits of thinking that we control our destiny can deter us. But the poet, I think, Mary Oliver, some of you may know of her work, she has a poem that catches something of what it is to be open to and enter into the vision God shared with Job. I have refused to live locked in the orderly rooms of reasons and proofs. The world I live in and believe in is wider than that. And anyway, what's wrong with maybe? You wouldn't believe what once or twice I've seen. I'll just tell you this. Only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. Amen.